Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. We've had yet another remarkable week politically in the United States of America. We're going to talk about the latest major development with Scott Parkinson. Scott, good to have you here.
All right, Loman, thanks for having me back.
President Joe Biden has decided to step down, to remove himself from consideration as the Democratic nominee for another term. Major development, big shakeup. Interested in your take on it.
It sort of felt like one of these car crashes happening in slow motion for the past year. Everybody's witnessed the remarkable decline of Joe Biden and his capabilities and even the incompetency of the administration, his inability to communicate a clear message with his own campaign, and then really running in contrast to somebody like Donald Trump, who is an entertainer, has a ton of charisma, a ton of energy, and so does the MAGA movement. And so I think it was pretty interesting to hear President Biden actually speak this week, because they made this announcement on Sunday. He had been recovering in Delaware from the coronavirus again, and despite being boosted, seven or eight times. And the bottom line is, we didn't see Biden for several days, and a lot of people were wondering, what's going on with this guy? Is he actually trying to hang on to power? Are they still convincing him? Did they put out a statement with his actual signature? Why wasn't it on White House letterhead? And there were a lot of questions that I think still haven't been answered. We even had the Secret Service director resign this week due to her failure to protect President Trump at the Pennsylvania rally. And so then when you had Biden speak from the Oval Office, it was a very, very historical speech in the context that, number one, he said that he was going to stay on and remain as president through the end of the term. And number two, that it was actually the first time that we got to hear from him following the announcement that he would no longer remain on the ticket as a Democratic nominee. Over the last several days, Kamala Harris has locked up significant support from Democrat superdelegates, former presidents, U.S. senators, but there's still one holdout as of our recording today, and that'd be Barack Obama.
That is interesting in and of itself. If we go to the president's speech that he had this past week, Scott, he again hit on his theme of protecting and preserving democracy. The fact that his frailty was hidden for all of those months, maybe years, and we went the whole way through the primary process. And now the Democrat Party is going to nominate a candidate who has never received a single vote in a single primary or caucus. Does that really take the democracy issue off the table for the Democrats?
Listen, I think that the Democratic Party has been a party that rules through elites. You saw George Clooney writing that editorial in the New York Times calling on Biden to drop out. You've seen mega donors like Soros control the lawfare in the United States of America through political contributions to candidates and exchange for attacking people for their political views. I don't really feel like democracy has been in place. Obviously, we're a constitutional republic. We want to make sure that we have a separation of power between our legislative, judicial, and executive branch of government. But this is a new opportunity, I think, for the Democrats to hit the reset button in some ways, even though Kamala owns all the policies, these radical policies that the socialist left has been pushing through the Biden administration. And quite honestly, she owns the illegal immigration invasion on the southern border. She was the border czar. We're seeing the media enact more of like a propaganda stream toward the people now, saying that she was never actually in charge of the border and that she was never the border czar. But that's just not the political reality of what we've dealt with over 10 million illegal aliens coming, killing American citizens, increasing crime, and ultimately taking away American jobs during a time of record inflation and economic stagflation. So I want to make sure that we've got economy that works for everybody. I think the Trump economy of 2019 is really the recipe for success. It was booming at a historic rate of growth. And then we obviously ran into the China coronavirus pandemic that really slowed things down and blocked him from winning re-election in 2020. Listen, Loman, we know that Kamala is going to make this race a little bit more interesting than Joe Biden. I think it's going to be a close race, but that voter enthusiasm behind President Trump and the election and his campaign, I think, is as strong as ever.
Is all of this really, in many ways, we've had so many remarkable developments over the last month, starting with the Atlanta meltdown in the debate with Joe Biden. But when you take the Atlanta debate, you take the attempted assassination on Donald Trump, now the removal of Joe Biden, have we really reset almost back to where we were before the debate? The polls that have come out this week in the swing states are pretty much showing Donald Trump leading in the swing states with Kamala a couple points behind, which is exactly where they were before all of this occurred.
Listen, you go back a generation, you go back several decades. The presidential contest has been very, very close several times, maybe the exception when Barack Obama steamrolled John McCain in 2008. And then also when Donald Trump defeated Hillary Clinton, there was, I think, a pretty strong electoral college win, but he held on to close victories in states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. We know that it comes down to bellwether counties. We know that it's going to be a tight election, no matter who the nominee was going to be for the Democrats. I still think that Donald Trump is in the driver's seat here to win and to win big. I think he's going to get over 300 electoral votes, but we shouldn't be expecting 10% victories in places like Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, and Arizona. I think that those are going to be within 2 to 4%. And I do think that Republicans are going to claim power when it comes to the inauguration of our next president.
The other major development this past week, among many, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, did an address to Congress, Kamala Harris notably absent. Don't you find it unusual that as president of the Senate, she didn't attend a joint session of Congress with what is arguably America's strongest international ally?
The Speaker's office invited her, and then they invited her again after she became the nominee. I think that she's going to have a lot of work to do with the Jewish community, and that's part of why she's probably considering your governor, Josh Shapiro, to be her running mate. I think that dividing the progressive base that has been sort of against this war is something that she's concerned about, but there's going to be that division no matter what, given, I think, the hypersensitivities related to the Jewish community and Palestinians.
We have been talking with Scott Parkinson from the Club for Growth. As always, Scott, tell us a little bit about the club.
Well, Club for Growth is based out of Washington, D.C., united in the idea of opportunity, freedom, and liberty. We need it for our economy to recover. And so if you want to learn more about the policies and the politicians that we support through Club for Growth PAC, check out clubforgrowth.org.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, we'll talk with you again next week.
Okay, thank you.